Hello, everyone who has tuned in on the YouTube channel and is also listening on the Lattice podcast. In today's episode, we have an interview with Magnus Mittbo, a world-famous YouTuber, competition climber, sport climber, boulderer, general all-round beast. This was a mixture of both interview and informal fun chat between myself and Magnus. I always enjoy chatting to Magnus. He's a really great guy. And also a Q&A session for everyone that's tuned in on the live Q&A section of this. What you will have noticed is that we are doing a lot more regular content on our podcast now, which is more of an interview format. And we're interviewing many of the world's best coaches, climbers, competition climbers, pro athletes, etc. So if you find it easier to consume this kind of format in an audible manner, so just listening to it, then we have voice recordings of everything which gets uploaded into the podcast. So you can just subscribe to that, listen to that whilst you're in the bath, driving to work in the morning or back in the evening or heading to the crag. So hopefully that helps all of you be able to digest some of these discussions, training knowledge, and just general chat around climbing and performance. It's quite a broad-ranging bit of content, really. So we hope that helps for all of you. Just subscribe onto we're on Spotify, Stitcher, and iTunes, so the breadth of all the podcast channels. Otherwise, let's get into the discussion with Magnus. I enjoyed this one. Again, I always like chatting to Magnus. And we will see you again on this channel, probably just in a couple of days, again, when we upload another bit of content. And most likely, it will be another interview from another star. First off, thanks for coming on board and getting involved with a live Q&A. It's always good to see your face. We haven't seen each other for a while now, have we?
It's been like 1.5 years, I think, since... because last time, that's when I went to the UK, right? The first time we did the collab.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you since then. I've only seen Pete since then.
It's been a while. Yeah.
But I mean, I still feel like, because I watch your videos, you know, and interact and stuff, so I still feel like we hang out once in a while.
Yeah.
And also, cool. Like Tom called you when he was here and stuff, so, you know.
I was going to ask.
It's a while ago.
Have you noticed, remember the last time that I saw you, you had a haircut that was like this one here, of like this sweep of hair, and I was so inspired by your hair. I've copied you now, you see.
You copied me. But now, yeah, I changed my hairstyle a little bit. So yeah, I guess you have to change it as well now.
Yeah. You're ahead of the times, leading the way.
Yeah, you know.
So first question, I've got to ask this one from me, because I at least get the chance to ask first question, is Stian, who I was talking with this week, another, you know, really good Norwegian climber, coach and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He was saying that you're absolutely crushing it on some Norwegian TV, like superstar athlete thing where you all come together and like battle other pro athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. The show is called Mester in Norwegian. It means champion of the champions. So it's a bunch of retired athletes. They compete in a lot of, I mean, like different competitions. Some of them are just like thinking, like a mind game, and some are really physical. Each week we're like one less. It started with 10 and now we're only 4 people left. So I made it pretty far. I can't tell you exactly how it's going to go, but yeah. And this was filmed in September. So it was pretty good timing for me because I was in, I mean, it felt like being on a reality show, honestly, because they filmed from 7 a.m. in the morning and up until 9 p.m. In the evening. So Yeah, it was pretty exhausting actually. They filmed everything, like all our meals and everything. So, but it was good timing because it was just with all the Corona and stuff, I wasn't able to travel and stuff anyway. So, yeah, so it was good timing. And it's actually, I think it's the most viewed TV program in Norway. And actually, a lot of people ask me if I see some like gain on YouTube because of that TV show, and there's absolutely zero for some reason. I think it's more like older people and just kids, and it's just like a family show kind of in a way. So, but it was fun. That's why I did it, basically, just because I thought it would be fun. And yeah, it's something that my family watches. You know, we watched this just 10 minutes ago. I actually just watched it with my family just now. So.
Oh, that's amazing. I always like it when I have friends or other athletes that I've worked with over years, and they go across into other things, like either other sports or try some of these game shows that are, you know, all those kind of ninja style things. And I really am always fascinated with how much does good climbers transfer across into other things. And did you go into that? And you obviously met all these other athletes and thought, actually, climbing set me up pretty well. Or did you think, nah, it wasn't that good at all?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was one of the youngest people on the show. It's like everything from, I think the youngest was 31 and is up until 53. So there's a big gap between us. And obviously, I mean, it's hard to say who was fitter in their prime time, you know, but there's also some of the competitors took it really seriously and hired like private coaches and like really trained for it, and some people were not so serious. So it's hard to say, but I feel like overall I felt like I was sort of surprised that I could keep up with the other athletes in some of the disciplines that I thought I would have no chance in, just like endurance. I never thought of myself as like having good endurance, but I think I was able to keep up reasonably good. So it was surprising. And also some of the disciplines I thought I'd be good at and I did horrible. So it was also the other way around. I don't know.
Yeah, I always think that climbers are a funny bunch, because we're particularly good in certain ways of moving and kind of strengths and stuff like that. But then, I mean, I always laugh whenever we do stuff like, you know, with like national teams and where you do group exercises and people have to do these coordination based things and a bit more kind of running and jumping around on the floor. And climbers look so wooden, like didn't do sport for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I know. It's also like, I remember back in the days we would play soccer for warming up. If there was like a soccer field outside the World Cup venue, we would play soccer like before or after the competition. And I mean, we were not that good with the ball. So I don't know. It's I think climbers are pretty specialized, but I don't know. There's some things like balance and also endurance and just being light and pound for pound pretty strong. I think that's something that correlates to at least this competition.
So, okay, I'm scanning down these questions coming in.
Yeah,
and there's quite a lot already. So I'm gonna dive into some of the questions if you're ready to start.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I saw there was one saying that I look like a vampire, and I absolutely agree. I look very pale.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've seen even less sun than me.
I think so. I mean, you're a little bit further south, so I guess you've seen more sun. Yeah.
Let's go for... first one. How do we get swole like Magnus? How do we get a Adonis like big chest, big biceps? What are you doing, Magnus? Is it a genetics thing, or did you do a load of weight training?
I think it's genetics. Honestly, I always tried to be light. You know, I always felt like I was too heavy for climbing. So I always try to cut weight. And I think that's why I looked probably more ripped than some other climbers. It's just because my body is naturally a little bit bigger, and that's too heavy for climbing. So I always had to like kind of pay attention to my weight. And I also think that I enjoyed a lot of doing like challenges and trainings and like one arms and all that stuff, all the party tricks. I enjoy doing that. So I think I did more of the training part of climbing than probably a lot of other climbers, you know, who only climb. And I mean, that is the best way to progress. If you want to become good at climbing, you should just climb. But I also enjoy doing a bunch of one-arm pull-ups and all that stuff. So I probably did too much of that, and I became too heavy. And some of the best climbers can't even do a one-arm pull-up. But so I don't think that's important. It's just something that I enjoy doing. So
could you do them easily when you first started trying them? Was it like something that you went, oh, actually, this is quite a relatively easy access exercise to me versus other stuff? Because I noticed this, like with certain climbers, the elite end, some just have it very quickly despite not spending a lot of time training it. Others can put a bit of time into training it and they still kind of struggle with it.
Yeah, I did my first one arm pull up pretty quickly. I think I was 12 years old. I'd only been climbing for like a year, so I've always been like pretty talented at like strength stuff.
Yeah.
Not so much as like technical stuff and taking advice and all the other aspects of climbing I've not been that great at, but this just like pure strength I've always been pretty good at, and that's probably why I've enjoyed it so much too. You know, I think we all enjoy doing stuff that we feel like we manage.
Yeah, and get a good,
like you guys with the trad climb or like hand jamming and stuff. It's really fun when you feel like you master something. So
yeah, for sure. It's something I always like to say is that it's really addictive when you get mastery in something, and it's hard actually to pull yourself out of it because you kind of just want to do more and more.
Yeah. Exactly.
Another question. What do you do for, this is a question from Movement for BJJ. What do you do for pinch strength and thumb strength? Is there anything particular you do for that?
I haven't really done anything. I think it's more just I've always been pretty strong at pinches and slopers and compression and all that. So I've probably climbed more on that. And I know that's always been just my strength. So it's not something that I've focused on. Because when I was competing, when you're competing, you try to be as diverse as possible. But if you climb outside, it's sometimes good to be more specialized because then you can choose one route that really suits you. But for a competition, you have to be diverse. So I always try to, I was not very good at it, but I try to be diverse and I try to work on my weaknesses, and pinch strength was not my weakness. So I didn't really train it that much. So I guess it's just something that I've naturally been good at. It's not something that I focused on at all.
Yeah. What's your hand size like? Are you like a broad arm, long fingers?
These three fingers are almost the same length. I have a tiny pinky. It's really small and crooked. I guess my thumbs are pretty normal. So
yeah.
I think for a climber I have pretty normal hands.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, pinching and compression, all that is also a lot about like just your body and like upper arms and shoulders and back and all that stuff. So I feel like maybe it's more that. I don't know.
Yeah. Another question that I've had a few of actually, I've always wondered about this as well. I watch your channel a little bit. Have you got any kind of intention or desire to do a bit more of a kind of follow along of a projecting process on something that's maybe a bit beyond your current ability, and a, you know, almost like a full season breakdown on something, or is that just not fit in with your filming schedule and it's just too impractical?
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. A lot of climbers ask for that, but and I tried to do some of that in the past, but it's like people have not a lot of like patience on YouTube. So if I upload two videos that are too similar, the second one will not get a lot of views. And of course, I don't only care about views. I want to make the videos that I want to make. But like, I feel like if I were to try like a really hard project like that, I'd probably just try it without filming it, and then maybe film like one day and then film the send or something. Because the whole process, I mean, you could make it into like a documentary style, like 1 hour video or something, but uploading a bunch of different videos of that same route, I think people would just lose interest. There would be a few people who would be really grateful for a video like that, but in general, I don't think there would be enough people wanting that for it to be, I don't know. You need a certain amount of views, you know, for it to be worth it to make, because there is a lot of work going into these videos and filming them and just making sure they're good enough for the internet. So I think if I were to try something really hard like that, I would also probably need someone else to take care of all the filming and all the editing and all that stuff. So my head could just be somewhere else, you know, on the climbing and not the filming. Because like even when I have people to film my videos and stuff, I still feel like I'm in charge of what's going on and the different angles and also getting the cameraman up in the rope. And so yeah, I don't have, it's just like the mental energy to focus on the filming and also the project thing. It's pretty hard, but I do think that a video like that is something that, I don't know, if I ever decide that I want to look back at my older videos when I'm older, that's probably the video I would look back on and be the most proud of, you know, a video like that, that just focus more on like projecting and stuff like that. But it's definitely not the video that I would get the most views and just like likes and all that stuff on. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really care too much about that either. So maybe in the future, if people want to see it, I will make it.
Yeah. I think it's a really interesting point you make, because I deal with this kind of similar sort of thing with Lattice quite a lot with videos, that people are always messaging us saying, I want you to do a video on this, I want you to do a video on that. And you eventually actually get stuck into this scenario where when you're paying your staff and you have a team and you've got to do everything relatively efficiently, you can only, you're like, it's like you're kind of damned and you're boxed into a corner, because you can only start to do things which are broad enough to appeal to enough people. Otherwise, you can't be effective in what you're trying to do. And it's just the nature of what it is when you get to that
point.
Are you suffering from chronic disease? Or maybe you're trying to live to 120 and optimize your health? Either way, the Your Health, Your Story podcast is for you. My name's Casper Schultz, and I've been traveling the world meeting with top doctors and experts in medicine and health with amazing discoveries that are making the incurable curable. I decided I had to share these stories to empower others who are seeking solutions but just couldn't find them. So join us for weekly enlightening discussions on how to beat chronic disease and live an incredibly healthy life that you won't hear about elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I wish there was more interest for just like the pure climbing and projecting and stuff like that. If there were enough people interested in that, there would be a market for it. And I think more people would just upload similar videos to like the Mellow channel. You know, I watch that channel a whole bunch and I think it's great, but I think you have to be a pretty like dedicated climber to, at least for some of the videos, to enjoy some of the videos. You know, it's very specific. Like, I don't know, for me at least, I think it's not like non-climbers wouldn't watch a video like that, you know. So, yeah, but I try to do a little bit of both, I guess. But yeah, it's difficult to know because I think also sometimes the comment section doesn't really reflect what is really popular, like you say. Because I remember I always saw a lot of comments saying that I should climb more outside, but always when I uploaded the videos climbing outside, they got a lot less views. But I guess the people who asked for them, they really enjoy them. So, you want to please them as well. You want to please, and they are probably some of the people who followed you from the very start. So I think it's important to do both. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the things that a lot of people might not necessarily kind of gather from watching, I guess, like following along with your life and, you know, your YouTube channel and everything like that, but was so blatant to me when I met you and you came and stayed over here in the UK and we spent some days with you, is that I was so impressed with your work ethic. I think... Yeah. This is something I really actually think is important to get across to people, anyone who's listening or watching now, is that Magnus works so hard with his stuff. Like, I don't think this comes across well enough on film, because it's easy to look at people who are doing really well with stuff and go, they just got lucky or they're just talented, yeah, like that. But seriously, I was so impressed. Like, I like working hard. And I saw what you were doing and I was like, this guy really knows how to work hard. It was cool.
Yeah. That's something I never show on my YouTube channel, though. Yeah. All the struggles and all that stuff. People just want to see the fun side, you know, being positive and being just having fun with your camera, you know. But so complaining and stuff, I always cut that out of the videos. You know, working from I get up to I go to bed, it's not something that I document in my videos. But definitely there's a lot more work that goes into making videos than people can see. I guess people who watch all my videos, I think they probably get it, but especially from people who don't have any idea what YouTube is, or they're just like, well, can you make money off of YouTube? Like, how does that work? Why do you make the videos? Like, people don't really think it's a job. And if you talk to people who have no idea what YouTube is, that's usually what they say, you know. And they don't realize that, at least in hours, I work more than 99% of people.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's the same with you. I mean, you have a lot of stuff going on as well. So,
I think it's one of the things that often doesn't, in the sort of the prettied up, dressed up version of life, is that you often see the kind of exterior skin of things. And one of the things I suppose I always enjoy, because I like coaching and I like explaining to people the process behind stuff, is that when I get a chance, I always think it's really valuable to just say to people, you know what, behind Magnus and all that success in that channel is a huge amount of work. And I think it's good to be able to explain that. It might not be the most glamorous thing, but it's the same with athletes as well. As you look at all the best athletes, like I remember watching Jakob Schubert in a training session at Innsbruck years ago, like even before he was like really, really, you know, like big, very, very well-known climber, and watching how hard he worked in a training session. And he stood out even then, before he was very, very well-known.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jakob is crazy with his training. But it's good that you say, you know, because if I said that, oh, I work so much, it just comes across as like, I don't know, not genuine. But because I think that, like, a lot of people say they work really hard, they don't really work really hard, you know. So I appreciate you saying it.
No problem at all. So more climbing questions. You obviously work on YouTube significantly, and we kind of talked about all the work and time that goes into it. What are your other, what do you get up to in the other parts of your life aside from YouTube? Do you have other hobbies? I think you obviously have your commercial gym business. What does the rest of your life look like?
Yeah, I mean, the gym business doesn't really take up much of my time. I just invested in the gym in Oslo. I invested in 2017, and now the one in Kristiansand just recently now. And I'm on the board in the gym in Oslo. But other than that, I don't really do anything with that gym. You know, I promote it through my videos, but that's about it. So that doesn't really take any of my time. But there's a, I mean, it's a little bit with the clothing company, Rangni company, and just, I don't know, also not just editing the videos, but, you know, doing collabs, making thumbnails, doing the advertisement, you know, you have product placement in the videos. It's always a hassle. You have to send the video back and forth 100 times before they're happy with the advertisement. And
yeah,
there's just like buying camera equipment, looking at tutorials. I don't know, it's just video editing and just video in general takes up a lot of time. So that's about everything. I don't really have any hobbies recently now because of Corona. I mean, I hate Corona and all that stuff, but I think it's been good for me to take like a semi break. I feel like this is the first time in a couple of years that I've been able to just stay at home and not worry too much. Because I feel like the COVID thing is kind of an excuse. At least I use it for myself as an excuse to kind of take it a little bit easy. You know, it's probably not a good excuse, but at least I use it as an excuse for myself to kind of take it easy. So. I haven't been super hard on myself, and I haven't traveled in a while and not been jet lagged and all that stuff. So I think it's been really healthy for my body, at least.
Yeah. And what's your, I've seen a few people asking about what's your home training setup like? Like, do you have a cellar under your house? Do you have an amazing, like pimped out, you know, mini commercial gym? What's it like?
Yeah, I mean, I recently moved into a new apartment, so there's absolutely nothing. And this fall, I renovated, not me, but I had people renovating the whole apartment, and we had to stay in an Airbnb, so like a tiny little hotel room. And that was really hard with the COVID. So I had nowhere to train other than just outside. So I would find like different parks and just do like a few pull-ups and stuff. But truth is, I've probably never trained. I don't know. I probably had like 10 sessions the last 4 months or something. It's been, almost nothing. But fortunate for me is that like I've never needed that much training to maintain the level that I'm on. I feel like if I get back into the gym, it's only going to take me like a couple of weeks to be almost back to where I were. So yeah, I'm kind of lucky that way.
Makes me sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is also the good, like that makes it easier for me to combine the whole YouTube thing with training, because I mean, I really don't train that much anymore. It probably looks like I am because all the videos are about training and stuff, but I mean, I feel like I more or less have like an office job right now doing editing and stuff. That's what most of the time.
I remember when we tested you a couple of years ago, when you came over to Sheffield, and I was amazed at how rounded you were, really, because I'd always made this assumption that you were just a total like strength power beast. But actually, as an athlete, you're actually really quite rounded. And again, like have a really good work capacity. Like this thing that I talk about a lot with training with people is that they always talk about, oh, you know, I had a lot of time off and then I tried to come back to it. And then I just got totally shut down. I got injured really quickly. And it's typically these people that have got a reasonably good level of climbing, but they've got no work capacity. So when they drop off and they try and come back, their body just hates it and isn't used to it. Whereas I think you put so much work in for so long, that capacity will stay with you for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely it. I just remember, I think I was 14 or something, and I trained really hard back then too, but I had to take like 10 days off because we went on like a school trip somewhere. And that was almost like starting from scratch again. I remember, because I had only climbed for like a year or two. So, but now, like with, I don't know, like 20 years of training, I feel like my body has just adapted pretty well. It's not like I'm progressing. I'm not getting any better, but I'm not getting that much worse either. So,
yeah. A few people have asked about what's your, what would you consider your weakness in climbing? Like what are your bits that you disappear quickly and you go, oh, when I go back to that, that's going to struggle.
I mean, according to the lattice test, it was my biceps, right?
Yeah, they weren't as yeah. Well, they look big.
Yeah, but there's nothing in them. Yeah, no, I don't know. It's no, my weakness has definitely been just like tiny crimps, like technical stuff, low percentage things. That's always been my weakness, and yeah, still is. It's yeah, definitely. I feel like that type of climbing, I usually feel much better on if I'm a little bit lighter. So if I go on like a climbing trip to Spain or something and lose a little bit of weight, then I feel a lot better on that specific style. But when I'm at home like this, doing all the training stuff, I feel terrible on that style.
So another question here. Why did you decide to do this live stream? Why would you do that, Magnus?
Well, I feel like I'm just chatting to you. You know, it's just like a friendly conversation. I don't know. It's probably more because of you than anything, to be honest. So it's a compliment. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Magnus. I was going to say, I've been very sensible so far. I haven't gone off too random.
Nope. It's been good.
Although I have to tell people a story of when you came over to my house and we were down in the cellar, and I remember we were setting up some like of the early filming scenes, and I think you had crawled into this tiny like cave hole underneath the cellar where like a human isn't supposed to go, and you maybe had. I think you were there like filming yourself with a little camera and a GoPro. And I was just laughing my head off thinking, I can't believe Magnus, like to me, you were like one of the most famous climbers in the world, was in this tiny, dirty, dark hole underneath my house, loving it, filming. It's brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah, it was the introduction scene, right, of the first video we made. Yeah. We pretended like I had to crawl through this tunnel to get in. And then you and Pete were on the other side wearing masks.
Ah, that was it, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, no, that was good. That was the first video we ever made.
Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All kicked off from there. And then Pete came over and filmed with you as well, didn't he?
Yeah, a couple of times now. I think it's been three times, yeah.
Those crack routes pretty hard that he set on your wall.
For me, it feels impossible. I mean, I haven't even tried it since. It's, but you would probably do it easily as well. Yeah. It's just, especially that, like, hand, the fist, I mean, it's a little bit too big for me. So I feel like I just slide out of it. Oh, so that part, I think I could train that for, like, 10 years. I don't think I'd be able to do it. So.
Yeah. That's the problem with Pete. He's got these big spade hands. And he has an easy ride of it.
Yeah, you should decide the width of the volumes instead. That'll probably suit me better.
I know, yeah. Okay, I'm not gonna keep you too much longer, so that I know you've got an evening to go and enjoy, or probably catch up some sleep and stuff. But I'll ask you a few more questions from the thing here. Okay, so do you have any collabs planned with Adam or Alex Magos or any other kind of well-known climbers? Because I know you've done a few different collabs. Have you got any kind of exciting ones in the plans that you want to do?
Yeah, right now it's hard to plan stuff. I talked to Adam and his team before the whole COVID thing, and we were actually going to go to his place to make videos to do a collab. But then because of COVID, never happened. So I think when things go back to normal, I'm going to send him an email and ask if he's still interested to see Yeah, it is. So, I mean, that's definitely pretty high up on my list. I think it'd be fun to document that in a kind of, I want to make it a little bit different than his videos, you know, try to get under his skin. I don't know.
I
ask him a bunch of questions and be like, see his like real side. I don't know. Yeah,
I think he's really interesting because, I mean, I talk to a lot of really obsessive climbers who are really into their thing, but he's got like a next level of just like focus. And like, I remember being in a restaurant with him and talking about a project that I was trying. So he wasn't even trying it. And like after about 15 minutes or so, I was done with chatting about this project and how like the crux might work. And he kept coming back to me going, I could see he'd been thinking about it, about the sequence. And I was like, you know, enjoying my pudding or whatever. And you go, oh, I think maybe you should think about this. And he's just so much of a different sort of person. It's interesting, the mindset.
Yeah, I know. He's a really interesting person. And I don't know him that well, to be honest. So I think it'd be fun to get to know him. I don't really know how much time he would have for a collab like that, you know. He's a busy man, because I focus all my time on YouTube, but for him YouTube is just like this side thing, you know. So I don't know. And also some guy who watched my videos, he reached out to Wim Hof, the crazy, the Iceman, and I think he's willing to do like a short little thing, so that might happen as well. I mean, I hope. That would be really fun.
Actually, that must be really fun and like a real privilege that when you get to a position where your channel's a really good size, it must open up some really just totally mad, unique opportunities, which you think, do you kind of pinch yourself sometimes and go, I can't believe I'm getting to go and do this with Wim Hof. This is crazy.
Yeah, it was really, it was the same when I started climbing, you know. I had posters of like Chris Sharma and David Graham on my in my room, and just like a couple of years later I actually met them. And I mean, I don't know if I would say I climbed with them, but at least I observed them from afar, you know. I was at the same crag as them, and that was pretty big. And now it feels a little bit the same way with YouTube and meeting a lot of people who I really look up to in this space. So it's kind of cool. I also have some different collabs that I can't really talk too much about, but with some pretty big YouTubers. Still need to wait for this whole COVID thing to go away. So, but it looks like I think everything's going to turn back to normal pretty soon. So, I'm excited. I'm excited to go back to the UK as well. I think it would be fun to go and make videos with you guys as well.
Oh yeah, really keen.
Peak District or something, you know.
I'm pretty sure that myself and Pete are coming over to Norway a few times this coming year as well. Definitely have to give you a shout for that as well. We should try and get you out some of these concrete bridge cracks. You'd love it.
Yeah, that'd be fun, because in your videos no one ever falls into the water. But I'm definitely going to fall into the water, so it's going to be more fun for people watching the videos as well.
Yeah, I think there's one under the central Oslo train station that someone sent me a photo of.
Oh, the water there is not very fresh, but...
No.
I'll take one for the team. I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming and joining in on a Q&A session and just generally... chatting, climbing and everything like that. It's been too long since a chat with you and everything like that. And just keep up the amazing work, keep crushing on the channel. I hope, the outcome of your TV filming is already done, but good luck for that in a sort of TV futuristic way.
It's not done yet. Oh yeah, it's done. Yeah, we recorded. Yeah.
True. Last thing I was going to say is Where's the best place for people to kind of find you at the moment? Because I know you've got a clothing brand as well that you're doing. So do they find those links on your YouTube or on a website?
It's all over my YouTube channel. There's a lot of new stuff coming out pretty soon. So that's actually something that I've been a little bit, like, I've been working pretty hard on now that I have some more time. Definitely check that out.
So merch.
The merch, yeah. Check it out. It's fun talking to you. And when this whole COVID thing goes away, we should link up again.
Yeah. It'd be really cool. Well, best wishes from me. And thanks to everyone who's tuned in and watched and sent questions and everything. And much appreciated.
Yeah.
I'll see you all very soon.